scripture text for consideration this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. And I shall read. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Lord, bless the reading of his word.
Please turn once again your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7. Before the prayer, we have read from this chapter, verses 24 to 27. Herein we have a parable of the Lord Jesus Christ, of two builders building two different houses for themselves on different grounds. Now these were the closing words of our Savior. These were the closing words of the sermon that he preached, and which is known as the Sermon on the Mount. Normally, when you listen to a preacher, maybe it's very true about me, you might have realized that preachers start quite slowly and they go very carefully, and halfway through the message they get more excited and more steady, and toward the end the climax come and they emphasize the point with great vigor and great zeal before they withdraw from their delivery of sermon. The Lord Jesus Christ is not a human preacher just as me or another. He is our perfect teacher. Every word he utters from the beginning to the end is perfect in wisdom and truth. I'm not in any way saying that his message was not good in the beginning or weak in the beginning, but I'm saying that toward the end of this sermon, great sermon that Jesus preached, he impresses upon us the importance of hearing his word, his message, his truth, with great care. Otherwise, we will become like the foolish builder in this parable. Dear friends, let's begin by considering the first point of my sermon, which is the two builders. Jesus places before us two builders, the wise and the foolish. Both were engaged in building a house for each of them. If you look at them, they look very much alike. Both were equally impressed with the need of building a house. It looks like both of them were very aware of the necessity to have a shelter from the heavy rains. They wanted to protect themselves from floods. They wanted to protect their family, probably, if they had a family, from the wind, from the storm. They understood the advantage of building a house. This picture is very common even in our congregations. I'm very delighted as a pastor to see people coming into the church and eagerly waiting for the sermon to be delivered. It's a wonderful thing for a pastor or a preacher to see an anticipating crowd in front of him. Nonetheless, I am equally mindful that not all are sincere. Yes, they would agree we need a sermon today to go on. We need some good advice from a good preacher to face the next year. They don't disagree with it. They would even bring their wives and children, and they all come with eager. They would say, oh, we need a refuge from the wrath to come. Yes, yes, the Bible is true. Many of its predictions are happening right before our eyes. We better get our families, we better get our friends to the church so they also may be secured from the coming troubles. I'm sometimes compelled to say to the Lord, Lord, thank you for the anxious hearts and faces that are before me. Well, dear friends, check your heart now. Both builders in this parable were resolved to obtain what they needed, a house. Now, their determination was not just an imagination of the mind. It was not a concept that constantly spoken by them. Oh, we need a house, we need a house, we need a house. No, they were not just stating it by means of words and speech, but they were doing it. They were expressing their need, and they were resolute in meeting that need. They took all the equipment they need, they determined which area they ought to build, and they started building. Some of us are just like these two builders. In a church you see people building, listening to God's word. They seem to agree. They seem to say God's word is true. They seem to say, well, we better come to church, we better go for prayer meeting, better attend fellowship groups, better give our tithes, better give our offerings, better pray before eating, better have a family devotion. And sometimes they do make sincere effort to fulfill their desires. But I look with sadness upon these two pilgrims. Even though their faces are zealously turned toward heaven, truly only one would enter that celestial city. The other would perish in his formalism and hypocrisy in the dark mountains before he reaches that celestial city. And it's true. Jesus knew it very well when he looked into the hearts of the hearers. I do not know your heart. No man can ever know your heart. God knows, and I'm sure you know too. Is your religion one of a formalism? Is there any truth in your heart when you live out your religion? You see, we are glad to hear, my dear friends, of your resolute determinations. I'm sure on the night or the watch night service, you all will come and many are going to give testimonies. Many are going to make resolutions before the Lord. If I'm around with you, I will be very happy to hear them. I'm sure some tears will come out of my eyes too. I would pray the same prayer you would pray for yourself. I want to join you to strengthen your spirit. Nonetheless, appearances, though look very hopeful, can be very deceptive. There may be a deep sense of need. There may be a determined resolution to get that need supplied. that out of two seekers, one may find and the other may miss. One may be foolish and other may be wise. To know what faith is, what repentance is, what a good hope in Christ is, dear friends, we should not be satisfied with formalism, the outward appearance. It's good to know what they are made up of, what it takes to attain those things. But it is a different thing to obtain it. You must be born again. The Spirit of God and the work of His grace must touch the depth of your soul. Spirit of God has not come to beautify your outward religion. He has come to touch your heart, to turn it around. He wants you to allow Him to take control of your life. The Lord wants to be the builder of your life. He wants you to build according to His blueprint, according to His word. He doesn't want you to build a house according to your imaginations, according to your convenience, according to your plan for Him. Let us remember this. Christianity is not a religion that teaches you to work out your imagination for God. But it is a religion that teaches us to work out what God has decreed for us. We have to build our life upon His word, not upon our imagination, and make it look like a house of His kind or of His will. Yes, you must be born again. As the Word of God and the Spirit of God worked in your heart, why did you come today to build your house, to build your life? According to what? May you say in your heart, according to God's Spirit and His truth. Otherwise, your building will be in vain. If you had looked at two structures in this parable, they would have seemed equally complete from basement to roof. They both built a house. And yet there was a great difference between them in a most essential point. There was in the foundation. You see, it's very hard to tell from outside who is right and who is wrong. You have to look where God is looking. Both build a house. Alas, you may persevere in keeping a kind of religion, even though you call it Christianity. You may beautify with hymn singing and responsive reading and prayers. You may decorate it with your tears. But if they are not from the heart, if it is not out of true repentance and faith, they are of no use. You may come here and say, oh, it is nice to sit in the sanctuary and feel peaceful in my heart. Peace, peace, you may say. But then if your life is not at peace with God, if your ways are not reconciled to the ways of God, you are a false builder. Your house will not stand the test. The builders are much alike up to this point. But in reality, they are as wide apart as south from the north. One builder in this parable is a wise man. The other one is foolish. One is superficial. The other is substantial. One is pretentious and the other is sincere. Ask yourself, which group you belong to. Now let's take a look at the way they build a house. Now it's quite imaginatory, I think, some of the things I may say, but I think they do fit well into this parable. Now we are not told about the details of the way they build, but when you look at the foundation, you can't help but to see the different attitude and ways in which they have built these two houses. When you look at the ground upon which these two houses were built, one was rocky, the other one was sandy. And I believe the one who built on the sand built his foundation very quick. The other one struggled to cut through the rock. You know, dear friends, look at your life. Are you hurrying through your Christian life? Are you building a house in such a quick fashion that others wonder, oh, why is that I'm not growing? Maybe you were born again yesterday, according to your own thinking. You got saved yesterday. That's what you say. Today, you want to be a teacher. Tomorrow, you want to be an elder. That's not the way the path of salvation works. There are those who want the way quick, fast, and appear to everyone as a saint. All haste is not good speed, my dear friends. There are some who travel very fast. And I must say this, unsound Christians are often very rapid in their spiritual growth. As I said, yesterday they were unconverted. Today they become believers. Tomorrow they begin to teach and they fall quickly. We do not want to be of that kind. If you are a Christian who look around and see others growing very fast, and you struggle a lot with some sins that easily beset you, but you fight with it, you go into your own room, you close the door, you kneel down and you pray, and you even pray, Lord, if this sin repeats itself in me, please take me home. I don't want to live here on earth. And again the temptation comes knocking at your door. You cry, you weep. You come to church. When you hear people singing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, your heart trembles and wonder whether you can take that name in your tongue. You cry. You weep. You wonder whether you are saved. You fall on your knees. You pray again. You read the Bible to find comfort. You knock hard on the ground. You have not given up. You kept searching God's word. You kept looking for God's blessings. You kept asking for God's Spirit to change your mind. And you yield yourself to God, that He may renew your mind day after day, that you may be an acceptable and reasonable service to God. But it's not all happening that fast, slow. But never mind, my brethren, knock hard. Drill hard into your life. And let the foundation be set deep upon God's word and in His power. Don't look for an easy believism. Don't look for an easy life. That's not what the Lord has taught us. In the scriptures, we are warned. If any of us have to grow, we have to lay aside our sins. If you are familiar with Apostle Peter's epistle, the first epistle, in chapter 2, he has taught us to lay aside every sin. And let's take a quick look at it, please. 1 Peter chapter 2. In verses 1 to 3, he talks about a growing Christian, how he ought to grow. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know, firstly, Peter told us that we must lay aside all malice, all sorts of mischievousness within us, all kinds of guile, all forms of hypocrisies. Please take note, they are in plural. Envies, all evil speakings. If you are trying to build your Christian life on the top of these sins, then I want to tell you, you are not going to grow. You are going to fall very fast. You may want to sing in the choir. You may want to be a deacon. You may want to be an elder. You may want to be a Sunday school teacher. You may want to be a Bible college student. You may want to serve and be seen by everyone as a Christian who serves. But if all these desires are worked out without taking away all these sins, this is a bad foundation that you're building upon. Peter tells us, lay aside that you may hear as you ought to hear. In Peter's epistle, the context is about hearing the word of God. If you want to hear the word of God well, you have to remove all these earwax. Lay aside. Take them out. These sins are like earwax that block your hearing. You have to remove them. All of them. So you see, my dear friends, to be a wise builder, we have to take time to look into our hearts. We must allow the word of God to work in our heart, that this foundation may be laid well. Our foundation cannot be an unchanged life. It cannot be a life that is full of sin and hypocrisy. It must be a life that is grounded in God's word, transformed by God's word, built up by God's word, cleansed by God's word. Then we will have a good house to live in. Examine yourself whether you are in the faith. It's okay if you feel tremble when you realize that your life has not been godly. If you realize that you don't have the kind of power that the Bible promises in you, though you think you are a Christian, and because of that you feel very frustrated and troubled, it's good. Dig deep with God's word. Remove those areas and find your strength in God's word. I have heard of Christians saying, Pastor Koshi, you know, I have been repenting of sins all my life. I've been a Christian for 20 years. Every year, and I have a long list of sin to throw. Some of them come back, and sometimes new ones come. Am I a Christian? Am I getting anywhere? But I want to tell everyone who is such, do you see your sin in the light of God's word? Then that's good. Are you moved by the word of God to repent before God? Are you compelled by the truth of God's word to humble yourself? To walk after His righteousness? Then, my dear friend, that struggle is good. Let your foundation be well founded on God's word. Dig deep. God's word is given as an instrument to build a deep foundation for us. It's tough, it's not easy. It's like cutting through the rock. Be thankful, my dear friends, if you are among the wise who build deep. When he compares his life with the word of God, he sees his weaknesses. And he cries out, O Lord, cleanse me. Make me a child of your truth. Make me a servant of your righteousness. And I hope that's how you are today. You know, the other thing about these two builders is that I believe the second builder built so fast that by the time the second one was halfway through, he might have finished putting all his roof and sitting down, because he didn't have to waste much time to dig deep into the ground. A fast builder. Maybe he came over and said to the one who was building upon the rock, hey, why are you wasting all your time? Look, I have finished the foundation. I've gone almost to the roof. Why don't you also follow me? Quick! The rain is coming! Quick! Troubles are coming! Don't waste your time digging, 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 digging. Quick! Fast! Make it look good! No. He was more concerned about God's word. He was not trying to polish things outside and make himself look good. I believe the higher the foolish man build, the weaker his building is. It cannot stand straight because the foundation is not strong. It will lean, ready to fall. If you really want to go up higher, the foundation has to be strong and it has to be deep. If you really want to be a strong Christian in the year 2008, stop being a Christian who loves an easy Christian life. You know, just come in into the church, listen, give something to God's work, put your money into the offering bag, greet a few people, get out and live an easy life. Well, 2008 may spell your disaster. Make sure you build upon God's word. You have good teaching in this church, not only during the Sunday service, the Sunday school classes, prayer meeting time, FEBC night classes. All this can be best used for your own building, for your own personal life. This is what the Lord is seeking in you, my dear friend. There's one thing I said a while ago, and I want to quickly repeat that. And this is what I said a while ago. The actual thing that God is looking in your life and my life is not what others can see, is what no one can see. It lay under the ground, the foundation. It lay out of sight, underground. You know, your pastor may see you as you are, and he may look at you and say, this is a fine Christian. And that may not be the truth. As a pastor, I had to deal with a person whom I loved very much, of whom I thought his life was fabulously grounded in God's word, tremendous in his commitment in areas of service. And he was a leader until one day the Spirit of God gave him no peace, no joy in his life. Hearing of God's word became a nightmare to him. Every Lord's Day he fight a terrible battle, and comes out on Monday, he will be in my office to tell me, Pastor, did you preach against me? It went on for 6 months, my brethren. 6 months. Almost every month, at least twice, he will appear in my office and will struggle with me, saying that I've been preaching against him. So I would ask him, did you commit that sin I mentioned? No. Did you do that? No. Then why do you think I'm against you? You are one of my best best leaders in the church. Why do you think so? He said, I don't know. I think you are against me. After 6 months, one day he came to me and said, Pastor, I have something to tell you. Nobody else knows this. God and I, and others who sin with me, I have these sins. 6 months this brother struggled. He still attends our church. He's a wonderful brother in the Lord. He still serves, but no more in the leadership. His sin has taken him out. And I'm sure he wouldn't mind that I mentioned this without mentioning his name. He serves the Lord today, having founded his life on God's word. You know what concerns me today is that this outward religiosity of the people. I must be wary of that in my own life. You must be wary. It's so easy to build outside when our inside is never based upon God's word. My dear friends, dear brethren, look deep into your heart where no one else can see. Look in with God's help, with the light of God's word, and see whether you stand fully on God's word. The things that you do quietly, the things that you watch, all kinds of movies that are filthy and ungodly and abominable, all kinds of activities that you engage in. Oh, your house will fall like the house of the one who built upon the sand. If you will build your house upon the rock, then I would say this. You will have a real sense of sin. You will have a real sense of sin in your life. And you want it to be removed quickly. Because sin and God's word, they don't go hand in hand. God's word hates sin. It purifies us. The truth of God's word sanctifies us. Has it been sanctifying you? If it has not been, then I want to say it very clearly. Your house is not built. Your life is not built in a strong fashion. It's going to collapse. It will be shameful. So may I begin, as I end, by addressing the leaders of the church. All of us, including me, who are preachers, who are elders, who are deacons. Let's look deep in our hearts. Is our life based upon God's word? Are we just preachers? Are we doers? Let's look in. Now all of you, parents, who tells a lot about godly living to your children, look in your own hearts now. What motivates you? What controls your passions? What makes you the way you are? Is it a love for God? Is it a desire for the holiness of God? Is it a passion for God's glory? Is it a readiness to live out the truth of God's word? If it is not, before the eyes of your children, you shall remain destroyed by the trials of life that's coming. And all of you, my brethren, let's join in prayer to ask the Lord to cut through our hearts by His word and change us totally from a sinful life to live a life according to God's word, that we may be like the wise man who built his house upon the rock. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to Thee this morning in the light of Your word. You have taught us very clearly that the rain will descend, the floods would come, and the winds would blow. And it will beat upon our homes. And only that which is built upon God's word, the truth of God's word, shall stand, and the other would fall. O Lord, most sincerely, there are areas in our life where we have not built according to your word. We allow the world to fashion us. We allow the sins within our heart to fashion our attitude and behavior. We consciously try to cover them up with the things that we do in the church before the eyes of other men. Lord, have mercy to forgive us, we pray. Deliver us from hypocrisy and formalism. Deliver us from all insincere, unrepentant ways. Oh, may the Spirit of God, with the power of the grace of God, draw us away from this terrible building upon the sandy ground of our sins. Oh, may the Word of God be our foundation. May the Spirit of God teach us how to stand upon the Word, how to build upon the Word, that we may be strong, a house for your glory, a life for your glory. Lord, we want to leave all the sins of the past year at your foot. May you wash us thoroughly clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, who died on our behalf on the cross. May he make us white as snow. If you would give us another year before us, we want to be a house where God's glory resides. We want our life to be based upon God's truth. O Lord, that many may come and see the truth, the light of Christ in us. May this church in its entirety be a house upon the rock, upon God's word. This we pray for the glory of Christ in every life. And in his name we pray. Amen.